where we hold back parts of our lives, where we try to live our lives in a self-governed form. I'm going to govern my own life, in other words. And therefore, miss out on what the Lord wants for us when we do that. Peace. Because if we're trying to govern our own lives, how's that working out for you? Are you at peace when we do that? Probably not. So this morning, again, attention is going to be focused on the believer's thought life and communion with God. We're going to share communion in a little bit, but how exactly then are we supposed to deal with the situation that we find ourselves in, whatever the situation, whatever the circumstances, how are we supposed to deal with that? And then what place does God have in the midst of all of that? Because we know this world is a mess. Anybody agree or disagree? The world's a mess. Regardless of the country that you live in, the nation, the city, it's just a mess, and life's messy, and you know the unending problems faced by mankind because of sin has created this mess. And truth be told, the world's very scary place to live, very scary place to be in. And we're the ones that have made it this way. Let that settle in for a minute. See, it's our sin that has brought the world into the state that we read about in the news today. It's mankind's sin. And the good news is that God wants to do something about it, and he wants to use you to do it. He wants to do something. See, he hasn't forsaken us. He hasn't let you go. He's not going to let you go, as a matter of fact. He hasn't let go of your lives for us to stumble around on our own and in the dark. You know, instead, his intention is to save us from this sin that's around us everywhere and the sin that's within us. Because of that, our lives should be changed. We should live our lives as though we're being changed from glory to glory, truth to truth. That's why Paul said, work out your own salvation, to be changed. Being molded and shaped into the image of Christ Jesus every moment of the day. And so the text, again, it opens up in that process. It says, be anxious for nothing. That anxious, the word, it can mean a few different things to us. You know, certainly the most common emotions that we tie to it are things like, you know, crazy or worry, you know, worry, crazy, whatever you might, you know, fear, stress. So we tie to that word. So we look within our own lives and, you know, we see, you know, difficulty or we see discouragement. You know, perhaps we look at the state of the world that's around us and we start feeling overwhelmed by the circumstances that the world pressing in on us, whatever it might be. And we feel this terrible pressure. We feel the anxiety about a particular struggle or decision or this some opposition that we're facing. And so we get anxious about those things, don't we? But I think there's a very practical problem that this worry causes, or this anxiety brings on. Very practical problem. You know what the problem is? Death. When we worry, when we're anxious, it brings about death. You know, we worry, and it actually takes a physical toll on our bodies when we're worried. And it takes a toll on our relationships when we get anxious or when we're worried about whatever the thing that's taking place. It impacts everyone. See, worry eats away at our marriages. It eats away at our parenting. It eats away at other relationships, our fellowships. And it's one of the destructive byproducts then of what? Sin. Sin, because he's telling us not to worry. It's a command from God, not to be anxious. And so I think for good reason then, we're commanded by God in the Bible, God's word, and he says, don't worry. We're not to worry because it's a sin. Well, not because it's a sin, because it's killing us. I wonder how many people, I'm sure there's statistics out there, but that are, you know, and I want to be careful with it because maybe we've been there before, antidepressants, medication, it happens. You know, we get our eyes, I don't, many reasons caused by that. Cure for that, of course, to be at peace with God. Now, Jesus commanded it very clearly, and here we receive the command again, be anxious for nothing. It's a good encouragement, I think. And not the little things, not the big things, not anything, he says, be anxious for nothing. And that's what God's calling us to do this morning, not to worry, not to be anxious. In other words, pretty much if you're anxious, just stop it. Wouldn't that be nice if we could just stop it? But anxious doesn't just mean stress or fear. It can also mean a lack of patience. You see, maybe we're not full of fear about a particular issue or a concern, but maybe we're a little anxious about the plan of God in my life, whatever that might be. Maybe we're a little worried that he's forgotten to move us forward to where we think we should be, in other words, in our walk. An example of that, we have examples in the Bible, of course. The most famous is being Abraham and Sarah. They had a relationship with God who had revealed to them something very important, of course, the nation of Israel. You know, a whole nation is going to come through you. But God, he made them promises about son. He made them promise about children. But things didn't seem to be falling into place according to their timing of things, you know, all that fast. So they became anxious about God's plan and about God's will in their lives. And so what did they do? In this fit of impatience where they got anxious, they tried to jumpstart the Lord, and they went about it their own way. You know the story. Ishmael. And so the result, again, was Ishmael, and the consequences of their actions for that anxiousness in their hearts and that act that they did continue today because of that. And so we have this world around us, and we have individual difficulties, discouragements in our lives, and he tells us, and he commands us, don't worry. Wouldn't it be easy? Just if it were so easy. He tells us that. Stop worrying. We're also given a calling and a plan from God who instructs us to wait on his timing. You know, again, anxious for nothing. However, again, we encounter difficulties, situations in life, things that are frightening or perplexing. We question. And so there must be an alternative then to this natural response of ours, which is anxiousness. And he tells us here, the alternative given here by Paul, very next phrase where he says, what? But in everything. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, he says. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, he says, let your requests be made known to God. So the alternative to worry is to pray. Alternative worry is to communicate with God. Every situation, every decision, every discouragement is this intimate time away, biblical prayer, he tells us, with God. And so the idea isn't that every time we read an email or open up a cabinet, you know, we think a new thought or any of that, where we're supposed to stop and, you know, do some sort of formal ritualistic prayer, you know, head bowed, you know, get down on my knees, although maybe you need to do that, I don't know, more often. But that's not necessarily the case he's talking about. The idea here is, you know, that God is getting at us, I think, is just talk to me. Spend some time with me. Open up. Open your life up in everything. Communicate, in other words, with Christ, is what he calls us to do if you're worried. He tells us that. And I think sometimes we get into the mindset where, you know, prayer is almost like tech support. I love tech. I'm not a techie guy, but I know some of you guys, you know, thank God for tech support. Amen? Right? I'm not the guy when it comes to that, but thank God. You know, I like technology, don't get me wrong. I'm not good at it, but thank God there are people, men and women, that do that. But we have this mindset where we have some sort of situation occurring, some sort of unusual error that we need help with, and so we put out this trouble ticket, so to speak, where we send that off to tech support, or this heavenly call service, in other words, with whatever the problem might be and hope to get a right answer to solve the issue. And then once it's done, we go about our own regular lives. Oh, took care of that one. Check. God answered that one. Move on. But prayer's not like that. Not at all. Because God isn't a vending machine. And he's not distant from us. He's there. He's here. He's here now. In fact, he's gone to incredible lengths to dwell within us. Third person of the Trinity is within his people. And Paul tells us in the book of Acts in chapter 17 and 28, in him we live and we move and we have our being. The Holy Spirit right now in us and in this place. In each of you. You came in. He came in with you this morning. In other words, those that have given their life to Christ. And so we understand that right now, God Almighty, holding everything together, the very atoms of our bodies, in other words, by his grace, by his power. So he's within us, indwelling us, empowering us, not just through some vague force, but a person of the Holy Spirit, whom we worship. He is God. And so how could we not continually communicate with him throughout our day? Because he is within us, sharing our thoughts, sharing our concerns with our Savior Jesus Christ. Because of the Holy Spirit that indwells. Beautiful time we get together. First Sunday of each month we get to share communion with each other. Just as a reminder of that. And he went to great lengths to ensure that relationship, didn't he, for us. But yet, this is the struggle I think that we each face in life. We sometimes fall into this worried or anxious thought life because we stop trusting God. We worry because we start thinking that, that this God that we worship and that we serve is a distant God. We're not quite sure. We get to this time where we're not quite sure that God knows what he's doing in our families or our jobs or in some particular situation. Or we get to this time where we're not quite sure that God knows what's best for my 5-year plan. Or we're not quite sure, that God's doing in response on time. God, can't you just make this happen? To whatever the service request that we send up to him. But what happens is when we give into this mindset, we get it all wrong. I think it's not what Paul's talking about, as a matter of fact, because God intends a supernatural filling and connection for us sometimes, all the time, every moment of the day, every single day, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. He wants that. He desires that. And life isn't meant to be lived with occasional sporadic contact with Jesus. It's meant to be lived in continual unity with him. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 7 with me. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, God doesn't just exist in heaven watching our lives unfold. No, he's decided to condescend to us and send his Holy Spirit to live within us day in, day out. And he's not far from us. And so prayer isn't just a radio system, a walkie-talkie. I used to carry a radio all the time, in contact with headquarters, but, up and down. I used it all the time, 24. Whenever I was there, we always had the radio. Thank God we had radios. Do we have someone better than a radio? He's with us all the time, and I don't have to pull him up out of my leather holster to talk to him. See, he's not far from us. And it's not like, just moving through life from time to time. Remember those, some of you remember the old trucker movies, the trucking movies, remember those, the convoy movies? And they had the CB radios. Remember those? Well, Smokey and the Bandit, right? Okay, I'm dating myself here. But it's not like that, we can get on the CB and hope that God picks up when we need something specific or some direction from him. That's not it at all. Instead, God says, you're my children. You're his. And he said, my intention is to give you supernatural filling, an anointing, direct connection to heaven, every moment, every situation of life. And if we go away from that knowledge and think, well, you know, okay, well, that's okay. You know, I'll take you up on that the next time that I'm in a jam. I think there's something very wrong with how we view our relationship with Jesus. And he intends for us this peace that he's talking about here. You know, that we often talk about in church. This peace. You know, remember grace and peace. Grace and peace are always offered to God's people in the epistles. And this peace, incredible peace. Remember, he says that it surpasses all understanding. And it can't be duplicated. Can't be duplicated by our own intervention, our own inventions, in other words. I can't manufacture that peace in my flesh. Meaning we can't discover it apart from the Lord. It can't even really be described. Have you ever had that more than a feeling, just that sense of peace? I'm so close to God that, you know what? Nothing matters but him right now. You've been there, I'm sure. But in fact, the only way to see this kind of peace in action, you know, is to look into the Bible. You know, you think about the three Hebrew boys. You know, when we studied the book of Daniel, you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember that? There they were in the midst of the fire. Yeah, just roaming around in the fire. Remember that? Didn't faze them whatsoever. Flame didn't bother them. I can't think of any three that were more at peace with God. Because why? Because of the presence of God. Jesus himself in the midst of the fire with them. And they came out and their clothes weren't even singed. Calmly. I can't imagine. I can't wait to get to heaven to talk to those three guys. How was that? Well, I told you how it was. There was peace in it all. And they'll all three have the same story, won't they? So this kind of peace that we're talking about, this kind of mind and heart that God wants for us each and every moment, you know, that we're while we're here on this earth, the question is, how do we get it? How do we get it? See, the world isn't going to get any rosier. They're not going to get any better, contrary to what some people will teach. You know, and we're imperfect vessels that the Lord, he's completing and he wants to work through. So how are we going to get that? How do we grab a hold of this kind of life that God's describing here? Do you want that? I don't see any head shaking. Of course you do. I think it's simple. See, heavenly peace comes through knowing God and trusting him. Knowing God and trusting him. Because when we stop trusting God, when we stop trusting him, that's when we start to give into anxiety. That's when we start to worry. And it's then that we leave the security of God's protection. And we try to fend off the foes in our life on our own when we leave that presence of God. It's like, you know, you ever watch the movies? I don't know, war movies, battle movies. I know some of you ladies are going, I don't watch those things. But guys, you might get me where, you know, the enemy forces has lined up and one guy breaks the rank. You know, there they are standing and they see, man, that's a big foe. So I know, I'm out of dodge. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to save my own life and get away from that. And where they snap and they run, so to speak, and he doesn't think that they're going to make it. And so that's what he does. He makes a break for it by himself. And what happens? 2 seconds later, what? They get picked off, right, by the enemy. Well, that's the picture, I think, that we're given in this text. Where God is offering his protection this morning. Offering his protection and his calm and his wisdom for you and for me this morning. The same God who gave his only begotten son to die on a cross while we were yet sinners. That same God who knew us from before the foundation of the earth and intends good things for us. That same God who has no problem stopping the sun in the sky. Or sending angels to intervene on our behalf. That's what he desires for you this morning. That same God. See, that's the God who's revealed himself to us. But we have to trust him. We got to trust him, and we got to submit to him. You know, we have to accept, you know, his will for our lives in that process. And, you know, and we discover his will for our lives. What? How do we do that? By communicating with him, talking with him, hearing from him, obeying him. See, he's spoken to us a great deal in his word, and he's readily waiting to speak with you this morning and to hear from you. Isn't that crazy that God of this universe would want to hear from you this morning? And I think the church, I'm not saying you by any means, but the church today sometimes don't even give God a second thought. Sadly. They might say it, but certainly denying the power of God in the process. See, we see, you know, the world dangerous, scary place, and, you know, going to come into situations where we don't know what to do, and quite frankly, we're going to be distressed. It's going to happen, and you're going to be afraid. It happens, but it's in this place where God says, I don't want you to stay there anymore. That's not where you belong. I want you to come to me, he's going to tell you. And he's going to say, give me that situation and that fear. And he's going to say, let me deal with it. He's going to tell you, I want you to have this supernatural confidence and, you know, and how much I love you and what an incredible plan I have for you. But that's God's intention for you and for me. And how we respond to God's revelation of that is going to determine the kind of fullness then that we have in him. See, we're not meant to be silent before God. We're not meant to hide all of our thoughts away. We're not meant for that at all. We weren't designed. We weren't created for that. We were created to have fellowship with him. The Lord wants you to make requests to him, and he wants us to share your thoughts, and he wants to speak to you. But as we do, we should remember who God is and who he is, you know, and what he's done for us, because that's going to shape the way that we communicate with God when we remember who he is and what he's done. And that's why communion is such an important time. Didn't Jesus say, do this in remembrance of me? See, if we understand his greatness and our smallness, we understand what the Lord gave to save us. You know, how greatly, you know, he's pursued your life. He's pursued my life. And he's faithful, isn't he? Never let you go. And if we understand that he has a specific, you know, values and priorities, and that he's returning very soon, hallelujah. He's returning soon. You know, then of course we're going to have a complete and different mindset and attitude of heart that the world will never have. Because what's the world, you know, worried about the economy? Who's going to be the next president? Christians say, who cares? No, I'm not saying that we don't vote. Don't get me wrong. Okay, I'm going to get emails this week. I know it's coming. But that's not what I mean. But those things don't worry us anymore. They don't beat me down anymore. God's in control. And that's a calling for us. And it's not for a select few. In other words, it's not for the Gold Club member, you know, Christian. See, that's God's intention for each one of his people, that we live a life with a supernatural filling and an intimate connection to heaven through the presence and the power of his Holy Spirit, not making God a part of my life anymore, but instead living and moving and having our being in him. Every bit of me, sold. Why? Because you were bought with a price. And therefore, I'm fully abandoned to his power. I'm fully abandoned to his plan. Can you say that this morning? Can I say that this morning? Now, walking in the Spirit means choosing not to worry, in other words, about the dangers or the difficulties or the discouragements, you know, in my life or those things around me anymore. And it means waiting for the Lord to do the good and the wonderful things that he wants to do in my life and in his timing. And it means listening to what the Lord is saying to you today. What's he saying to you today? Have you talked to him? Have you asked him? I don't know where he's leading me. And I've had people say, I don't know what to do. And I'll just remind them, what's the last thing God has directed you to do? What's the last thing? And then can you say, I've done that? Then he'll give you the next thing. Problem is we want step five, don't we? Well, I want the answer to step five. He said, well, let's just go back to square one. You haven't obeyed that. Maybe you have, and you're moving on to step two, and that's good. But it's not always easy, is it? But it is doable. I want to encourage you, it is doable. See, it's within our reach, because he tells us that. So I would just, as we come up this morning, I would just invite you to spend your thoughts for a moment in communion with God. Just here, before him this morning, remembering the connection that you have to heaven. Moment by moment. Just spend it there. He wants you to do that this morning. He said to do that. To do this in remembrance of me. See, he's not far. He's within each one of you. Those that have given their life. Those that have surrendered their life to Jesus. He's present right now in you. In fact, he has a master plan. To do what? To transform our lives into something beautiful. Something eternal. Something I can't even get my mind wrapped around sometimes. And he wants to spare us the consequences in that process of anxious living. He doesn't want you to stay there this morning. He wants you to know more of who he is. He wants to know more of what he's done. And he wants to do something through you this morning, today in your life. Ask God. And it's your choice. He's given you a choice this morning as we come here before this table. What's your choice? Heavenly Father, God, we thank you. And we praise you, Father, for your word. And we thank you for the choice. You know, you chose us, the word tells us, before the foundations of this world. How all that works, you know, that's brighter minds than mine. But then you've given us the choice, Lord, to surrender. The choice of whether to surrender or whether not to. Whether to live these lives, the lives that you've given us in our own strength, our own accord, our own desires. I can do things. Or the choice, Lord, as you say, to do these things in remembrance of me. The choice, Lord, to surrender. The choice, Lord, to pray. The choice to hear from you. The choice to obey you. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for Jesus. Lord, you've saved us from all that. You've saved us from the sin and the death and the things of the world, Lord, that should no longer affect us. And so, Lord, if there's someone here this morning that has allowed the situations or the things of the world or the things of their flesh to impact them in such a way that maybe their relationship with you isn't what you've intended it to be. Today's a good day to just say, Lord, I give that to you. Give it to you, Lord, because of the cross of Christ. Or maybe you're here this morning and you just haven't been this week spending time with the Lord as though you know you'd like to or should have, could have, would have, should have. Now's the time. And you've given us that privilege this morning of doing so. So as we come to this table, Lord, remind us of that. Or maybe you're here this morning and things are rosy. Things are good with Jesus. Then we rejoice with you this morning. So bless now this time. This is your time now, Lord, as we come to this table. So let us just spend a moment giving it to the Lord, whatever it might be. And then come to the table and take these elements and return to your seat, and we'll share together. We just want to say we praise you, Lord, and we thank you for this privilege and this time together now of communion in Jesus' name.